Yes, it's October 11, 2009 in Karlovac, Croatia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Conversation between Narada and Vyas, Text 37. So how are we doing translation, or how are we doing translation? They'll do a simultaneous translation. Do we have the verse on the board, or here? Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Evam sambhasya bhagavan.
Evam sambhasya bhagavan.
Narado vashavi sutam.
Narado vashavi sutam.
Amantra vinam ranayan.
Amantra vinam ranayan.
Yayo yad vichito munihi.
Yayo yad vichito munihi.
Please chant.
Sutta vacha,
Sutta vacha,
evam sambhasya bhagavan,
evam sambhasya bhagavan,
narado vasavi sutam,
narado vasavi sutam,
amantriya vinam ranayam,
amantriya vinam ranayam,
yayau yadvichiko muni,
yayau yadvichiko muni.
Sutta
uvacha,
evam sambhasya bhagavan,
narado vasavi sutam, amantriya vinam ranayam, yayo yadvichiko muni.
Ladies.
Sutta uvacha,
evam sambhasya bhagavan,
narado vasavi sutam,
amantriya vinam ranayan,
yayo yadvichiko muni.
Sutta.
Sutta
Goswami.
Goswami.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Said.
Said.
Evam.
Thus.
Sambhasya.
Sambhasya.
Addressing.
Addressing.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Transcendentally powerful.
Transcendentally powerful.
Naradaha.
Naradaha.
Naradaha. Narada Muni.
Narada.
Vasavi.
Vasavi.
Named Vasavi Satyavati.
Named Vasavi Satyavati.
Sutam.
Sutam.
Son.
Son.
Atmantriyam.
Inviting.
Vinam.
Instrument.
Ranayan.
Vibrating.
Yayao.
Went.
Yadrichikaha.
Wherever willing.
Munihi.
The sage.
So the most important word in this verse is ichaha. What does ichha mean?
Desire.
So yad richit kaha, wherever he desires. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now this is one of it's a very, very significant purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Purport. Every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is his transcendental nature. Okay, let's look at that sentence for a minute. So why does Prabhupada say that we want full freedom. I'll read it again. Every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is his transcendental nature. Why are we all wanting full freedom?
Because it is our transcendental nature.
Because it's our transcendental nature. It is good and normal and desirable to want to be ourselves. We are supposed to want to be ourselves. And what is part of our nature, Prabhupada is saying here?
To be free.
Not just free,
fully
free. So this desire for full freedom is not a material desire. It is a spiritual desire. We want it because it is part of our transcendental nature. Of course, when we want it in a material way, that is illusion. If we want full freedom by having a political revolution, by burning our passport, the kind of freedom we want in this world is an illusion. But the desire for freedom is not an illusion. The desire for freedom comes from the fact that it is our nature. Actually, everything we desire originally comes from wanting to get back to our nature. Material desires means I'm trying to do something spiritual in the wrong way. Instead of putting the food in my mouth, I'm putting it in my eyes. But wanting to put food in your body is not wrong. Let's continue with the purport. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. So, what is interesting about this sentence that Prabhupada says?
If you want to be free, we need to serve Krishna.
We need to serve Krishna. Why is that an interesting statement?
Because we need to serve Krishna through regulations. And we want to be free, we need to be regulated.
Okay, so to serve Krishna, we have to follow regulations, and freedom, we get freedom through regulations. Why is that interesting?
Because everyone wants to be free, because they want to be like God. They want to be in their way.
They want to be free from regulations.
People want to be free from regulations, but we have to follow regulations in order to be free. Okay, what about when we are beyond regulations? What about when we are on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti? Even then, why does this sound confusing? This freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord.
Because even after liberation, you are continuing to serve.
You're continuing to serve. And what does the word serve mean to us?
Slavery.
Slavery. Do you know in Russia, when they first translated Srila Prabhupada's books into Russian, they translated the word devotional service as devotional slavery. And instead of saying we are servants of Krishna, they said we are slaves of Krishna. Still, people became devotees. Right? Actually, one of my godbrothers recently was writing in an email conference, I don't like this word servant. He said, I don't like the word spiritual master because a master has servants or slaves. He said, I prefer the word spiritual teacher. And you can say that he has assistants. He said, okay. I was thinking, I didn't say anything to this devotee, but I was thinking we really don't want to be a servant. Okay? A lot of the advancement in modern society is to get rid of servants. What servants do we have in modern society? We still have servants, but what kind? Who's the servant who does your laundry?
A washing machine. Technology.
So we have tried to replace human servants with technology. And you're seeing more and more in society, they're trying to replace the lower levels of jobs with technology. Of course, this causes unemployment, and then the people who are unemployed become criminals and lazy and so many problems. But this is happening because we don't like the idea of servant. In fact, in modern society, people will look down on you if you have a servant. Not only if you are a servant, but if you say, oh, I have a servant. What's wrong with you? Why are you so proud that you have a servant? One very wonderful devotee, Radhika Raman, who was born in the movement, he's a professor. He was talking about how he's Indian bodied, but he was born in America. He talked about how he married an Indian girl from India. And when he married her in India, she said, I really want to have at least 15 children. And that is. Then when they came to America, after 1 or 2 months, she said, I cannot have 15 children in America. She said, here I only would like to have 2 or 3. He said, why? She said, because there's no servants. She said, I was thinking in America you have a washing machine, it would be easier. She said, but it's harder. I have to put the clothes in the washing machine, I have to sort them, I have to take them out, I have to put... She said, in India I just give it to the servant, dirty, and they come back clean and ironed and folded, and the servant puts them away, everything. Right? Or a dishwasher. You have in Croatia dishwashers?
Yeah.
Yeah? So people often, they rinse the dishes, then they put it in the dishwasher. But my point is, we don't like to be a servant. I remember my mother telling me that when she would go to pray, that if ever there was a prayer that said, we are the servants of God, she wouldn't say that. She would skip that. So we don't like to be servants. But here Prabhupada's saying that if you become a servant, then you become what?
Free.
Not just free?
Fully free.
Fully free. You become fully free. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, in a description of initiation, talks about that we have to completely give our free will to Krishna, 100%. He said, if someone says, I am partially giving, they are not really giving at all. And when I read that, I become, well, scared. I have to give all my free will to Krishna, then I will become like a machine. Right? I think then I will lose my freedom. But just like Jesus said, those who seek to gain their life will lose it, and those who will lose their life for my sake will gain it. So the spiritual is just the opposite of the material. Here I try to be free out of Krishna's service, and I am completely bound. And when I want to become Krishna's servant, I become completely free. Aridha Ananda Maharaj explains it. He said, just like you offer food to Krishna and he gives it back to you. He not only gives it back to you, but it tastes better. So we give our will to Krishna and it comes back better. Actually, although Krishna says, yat karoshi, yat adnasi, yat tohosi tadasi, yat tapasasi konteya, tat karushva madarpanam, whatever you do for Krishna. Really, and he also says, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati, tadaham bhakti paritam ashrami prayatmana. Offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Really, the leaves belong to? Who do the leaves belong to?
Krishna.
Krishna. Who do the fruits belong to? Krishna. The flowers. Krishna. Or we say, manasa deha geha yo kichuar. Who does my body belong to?
Krishna.
How do I know that? How do I know it belongs to Krishna? How can you tell who is the real owner? They can take it whenever they want. That's how you know who is the real owner. Just like the real owner, are you purchase this or you're renting?
Renting.
So you know the landlord can say, sorry, now you can't rent anymore. And even if you own, the government can take it. The government can say, sorry, we want to make a highway here. We are taking the building. Or material nature can claim it. There's a, you know, earthquake or a fire, and it's taken away. So my body is Krishna's. What about my mind?
Krishna's.
So what do I have? I have one thing. What is it I have? I have my free will. That's mine. Body is not mine. The mind is not mine. Speaking is not mine. Flowers are not mine. Building is not mine. None of that's mine. Krishna is giving and I give back. It's like a game. Krishna gives to me, I give back to him, he gives back to me. Krishna says, here's a pumpkin. Thank you, Krishna. Here, you eat the pumpkin. He says, okay, now you eat the pumpkin. An exchange of love. But my free will is mine. That belongs to me. So really, the only thing I can give to Krishna, really, is my will. And say, Krishna, you do with my will whatever you want. And then what does Krishna want to do with my will? What is his desire?
Then we surrender this will to him.
And then what will he do with it? What does he want it for? What does Krishna want my free will for?
For love.
For love. What does love mean?
Exchange.
Exchange of freedom. There's no love if there's no freedom. Love cannot exist without freedom. Impossible. Then it's not love, it's something else. That's why we say in this world there's no real love. Because in this world I need something. When people get married, they talk about what they want from the other person. Usually. What the other person will give them. So love in this world is, I have a need, I feel empty, and I want you to meet my need. And I try to make it an even exchange, not exactly even, I try to make it little more on my side. And you try to make it little more on your side, so we fight. But that is what we call love. Real love exists in full freedom. That means I'm already satisfied. Krishna's already satisfied. Krishna doesn't want to love me because he needs me, just because he wants to. Not any particular reason, causeless, just because. And he wants me to love him in the same way. Krishna wants me to love him just because. Not to get anything. Just for love. So if I give Krishna my free will, what does he want to use it for? He wants to use it for a fully free exchange of love. Without 100% freedom, there's not love. It's something else. It's exploitation. And if it's not love, then there's some element of force, obligation, manipulation. If you love me, I'll give you this. It's a business exchange. I'll buy you a diamond bracelet if you cook me lasagna. Yeah, that's what's going on. People, you read relationship books, they tell you, how do men keep score, how do women keep score? And we're all keeping score. What am I giving, what am I getting? What am I giving, what am I getting? What am I giving, what am I getting? And if it starts to be too uneven on the giving, I become very disturbed. Either way that it becomes too uneven, I actually become disturbed. Because if I'm getting too much, I start worrying, when will I pay this? When will I have to pay? People don't like creditors. You understand? If I'm in debt to someone, I hate that person. Generally, in this world. So if I'm getting too much or I'm giving too much, I don't like it. I like it to be, like I say, just a little bit more on my side. And I'm calculating. So that's business exchange. That's not love. But you can only have love when you don't need anything. Love is not possible as long as I think I need something. Because then I'm trying to get it from you. I'm calculating. So we feel completely full, completely satisfied. Therefore, Prabhupada said the devotee has no desires and it's a free exchange of love. Now let's read the rest of this purport and see how Prabhupada describes the kind of freedom, some of the kind of freedom that one has when one becomes a servant of Krishna. Illusion by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by the laws of nature. A conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth, and what to speak of one planet to another. So here Prabhupada is giving an example. I think that by not surrendering to Krishna, I am very free. If I surrender to Krishna and be a servant, I will not be free, and if I'm rebellious, I am free. That's how I am thinking. In fact, any time that we do something that is not exactly according to the rules of Shastra, I was thinking, what is our pleasure in doing something that is sinful? Why do we do sinful things? Because usually the pleasure from the sin itself is not very great. But it's the feeling that I'm free. I can do something freely. Is there something I said that was funny? So just like if we think, in the last year, have I every minute of every day just done everything I'm supposed to do? Do I sometimes willfully, purposely do things that I know are wrong? So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But have you done at least in the last year one thing that you knew was wrong? Not you. You never, you're already totally surrendered. So why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's this sense of, I'm a free person. I'm an individual. I can do what I like. That's one of the main reasons that we try to break the laws of God or the laws of nature. Yes, I am free. That kind of satisfaction. But we're not free. And Prabhupada gives us example that we can't even travel freely on this earth. I cannot travel across the oceans unless I have a boat or an airplane. And even with a boat or an airplane, they'll stop me at the border. Continuing with the purport. But a full-fledged free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. So here Prabhupada's saying that the freedom we get, it's as good as the Lord. How foolish we are. I'm holding on to this illusion of freedom. And if I give up the illusion of freedom, I get freedom that is as good as the Supreme Lord. How non-envious Krishna is. He gives the surrendered living entity as much freedom as he has. He has no envy. I don't want to do that. I don't want everyone else to have as much of everything as I have. If I thought, oh, everyone in the world, they can have as nice of things as I have, or better, I become disturbed. But Krishna is not envious. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. He has no need. He's traveling just because he wants to. We were talking a little bit yesterday about thinking about what service you do and thinking, why do I want to do this? Not this feeling of obligation. The feeling of obligation is the mode of passion. That's another week's discussion. Similarly, the transcendental system, now this is a scary thing, by the way. I'm going to warn you right now, this is one of the scariest statements anywhere in Prabhupada's books. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. What did Prabhupada just say there? Do I have to read it again?
First, he cannot become Krishna conscious even if he follows all regulations. He cannot get prema or love for Krishna even if he follows all regulations and everything.
Yeah. Is that scary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very scary. We think, wait a minute, there's no guarantee? What about all the places where Prabhupada says there's a guarantee? And what does this mean?
Our own endeavor we cannot do.
Hmm?
With our own endeavor.
Just with our own endeavor? Okay.
That we need to surrender to Krishna.
Yes, not just do the external formulas. What else?
Spiritual life is not like a stereotype.
It's not stereotyped, yes. What else?
It means that we are dependent on mercy.
We're dependent on mercy. What else? They can also say in Croatian, you can translate, you know. We have to have devotion. Yes. It's not a mechanical process. Krishna is not a machine. It's like this computer is a machine. If I plug in this thing and I press this button, it should do what I want it to do. And if it doesn't, it's broken. Okay? The computer doesn't have the ability to say, no, I don't want to do that. But Krishna can say, I don't want to do that. You can't force. So if we think that devotional service is a mechanical process that is going to force Krishna to reciprocate, then we're thinking Krishna is a machine. And just like I don't want someone to treat me like a machine, Krishna doesn't want someone to treat him like a machine. We're trying to develop a relationship. It's not that there's some certain formula and Krishna has to respond. Or just like if you say, Urmila, I'd like to meet with you. And I say, okay, I can meet with you here in the temple room in, how do you say this? Karlovac. In Karlovac. I'll meet you here in the temple room in Karlovac at 2:30 in the afternoon here on October 11th. So then you can be pretty sure, if I'm a responsible person, that I will be here at 3:30 in the afternoon here in Karlovac on October 11th. But, you know, I might decide not to come. Depends on your attitude. If you're thinking, oh, now I have forced Romila to come, she must come, I might say, no, forget it, I'm not going to come. Or if you say, I want to contact you, I say, all right, here's my email. If you write me, I'll answer you. And maybe you write me an email and you say, I expect you to answer me in within 5 minutes of getting this email. I may think, I'm not going to answer you at all. Mm-hmm. I'll put it in my spam folder. So Krishna's giving us, here's how you can meet me. Here's how you can talk to me. You just chant this mantra and I'll pick up the phone and answer at the other end. But it also depends on our mentality. Okay, I'm going to go on the purport. One may be fortunate to have it. It meaning what? What is it? Oh, wait, I skipped one sentence. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Do you all know what a pivot is?
No.
Fulcrum. Do you know what a fulcrum is?
No.
Okay, if I'm going to sweep the floor, I have a broom, and I'm doing this, right? This point is the pivot. Or the fulcrum. If you have the children in the playground, they go up and down on the... This thing is the pivot, or the fulcrum. Okay, that's what everything rests upon. So what does Prabhupada say is the pivot? Now you know a new English word, pivot. No.
Freedom.
Says here, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. I'm going to read that again. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. If there's no freedom, it's not devotional service. What is it? It's just service. Devotion means a mood. and the mood is free. There's that letter, very famous letter, where Prabhupada said to the managers, be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. One of the Prabhupada's most often quoted letters on management. Be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. All of us serving in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are volunteers. Even if somebody gets some salary for their work, still, they're choosing to work for ISKCON instead of for something else. In some projects, we give devotees usually a very small salary. Just like I brought some of the books I'm working on, and I pay each artist only $400. If they were working on the open market, they'd be getting $2,000 at least for the same work. So even if I'm giving them some money, still they're volunteers. Even if I was paying them $2,000, still they're saying, I want to do this work for Krishna. And it's very important to remember that the people we're working with are all volunteers. Nobody is obligated. This word obligation should be burned. Nor should we feel I'm obligated. I have to do this. I don't want to, but I have to. As soon as we think like that, that's the mode of passion. According to Krishna and Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita. Don't have the mood of obligation. Don't make other people feel obligated. And don't make yourself feel obligated. There's a very simple formula. I choose to do this because I want what? I choose to chant my rounds because I want to keep my promise. I choose to do this service because I want to serve my guru. I choose to do this service because I want to make people happy. I choose to do whatever it may be. But as soon as your mind starts going, I have to. As soon as your mind says, I have to, stop it. No, I choose to do this because I want such and such. And maybe you'll find you don't choose to do it. If you do something when you don't choose to do it, that is the mode of passion. Please don't do that. What was I saying yesterday? The purpose of sadhana bhakti is to develop
desire.
Desire. Okay, let's finish the purport. The freedom surrendered to the Lord. Remember we talked about surrendering the free will. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not, this is again one of the most amazing sentences anywhere in Srila Prabhupada's books. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. Let's read this again. The freedom surrendered to the Lord. I told you I could not give a half an hour class on this verse. Impossible. Maybe another verse, not this one. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. Wow. Sometimes we think surrender means I become like a machine. Yes, Gurudev, tell me what you want to do. I will do it. I will not think. I have no desires. All desires are Maya. I am a Mayavadi who believes that all desires are Maya. I have no individuality. I have no propensities. I do not care about my own happiness at all. I just follow your orders. Yes, sir. Now I am surrendered. Do you really want to join that movement? Is that the spiritual process you want? That looks like Nazi Germany to me. Why would anybody want to surrender to a God who wants that? That is one of the main reasons people don't become religious, because they think that that's what religion is all about. They're thinking God is like Stalin or Hitler. They actually think like that. Krishna is not like that. We have some examples of how the devotee is not dependent in all respects. When Krishna saw the Agasura demon, did he want his friends to go inside? No, Krishna did not want the cowherd boys to go inside the mouth of Agasura. But they did. because they know that Krishna likes to play the hero, and they wanted to give him a chance to do that. But he didn't want them to go inside because he's thinking, you know, he didn't want them to get hurt. Or when Krishna was joking with Rukmini, what did he want Rukmini to do? He wanted her to get angry and to joke back, because that's one of the main pleasures between men and women, is joking, and joking fighting even. Joking insulting. That's one of the main pleasures of grihastha life. And be careful, if you're supposed to be a renunciate and you're doing this with the opposite sex, then you should get married. Because then you're stealing. So Krishna wanted Rukmini to joke back and to insult him back and to get angry. But she didn't. Does this mean she didn't do what Krishna wanted her to do? What did she do? She fainted. Was Krishna happy that she fainted? Yes, he was. He said, by your surrendered attitude, you have won me for all time. Even though she did something different than what Krishna wanted. Or the example given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in regard to the Anyabhilasita Sunyam verse is when Mother Yasoda is giving Krishna her breast milk. And he's not finished. Because as the Acharyas say, his belly is unlimited. And the milk on the stove was thinking, I want to do some service too. And it got so ecstatic thinking about its service, it boiled over. So then Mother Yasoda put Krishna down and went to take care of the milk on the stove. Did Krishna want her to do that? No, he didn't. In fact, he got very angry. So, still that's considered devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. Would you like to have somebody who is dependent on you in every respect?
No.
It would be a miserable relationship. Could you imagine every time your wife wanted to do something, can I blow my nose now? You'd say, leave me alone. Right? I have one lady like that. She sends me emails. She says, I will only make decisions with your authority. I said, I don't want you to do that. Make your own decisions. Grow up. I don't want to grow up. I said, well, I want you to grow up. So nobody wants to have that permanently. Right? Like a little tiny baby is dependent in every respect. A newborn baby. But nobody wants their baby to stay like that. One of my friends had a baby who had some problem when he was born, and she said he never matured past 2 months. He lived for about 8 years, but he never had any ability past a 2-month-old baby. So that's not pleasing. That's not what Krishna wants from us. Now here Prabhupada is emphasizing what he said in the beginning. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. So the way we get freedom is through surrendering our freedom. Okay, this is a very deep subject. We could talk about this for a very, 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 very long, long time. This purport is hitting at a lot of the root as to why we're in material consciousness, why we don't surrender to Krishna, what our fears are, what our misconceptions about devotional service are. But today is the appearance day of Radhakund, so we are going to stop the class now.
Can we have some questions?
You're the temple president, so you decide.
Because it is very nice.
But this, I'm warning you, this subject is a discussion we could talk about for a very long time.
Yeah. Next time when you come, you need to come for a few days, at least a few days.
To discuss about freedom.
Just to discuss about this purport. And we'll spend... Really, we could talk about this every day for months, just this one purport. I think even just some of the sentences in this purport, because they really challenge a lot of our fears and misconceptions about life. But sure, we could discuss, let's say, 15 minutes,
yeah.
And then we can meditate on Radhakund. Yes, Prabhu?
I have two short questions. First is, because most of us are coming, most of the people are coming from the Tamagun, and... is it good in the beginning? I think it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. To have this obligations, because, you know, which is in the mood of passion, in the Rajagun. Because when the people just come, okay, I'll serve Krishna for 1 or 2 years, and now I don't want anymore. But if they have this kind of
I don't know, Prabhu, because what I've seen is that people who take that mood leave after some time.
Gradually. Tamagun, Rajagun, and then mood of goodness, and then pure love.
Maybe.
After some time.
Maybe, but I'm not sure about that at all. I'm really not. I mean, what I see is that people who felt like that will leave after some time. They don't stay. That's just my practical experience.
Because sometimes, maybe recently when I was few years back in the, we had like Sankirtan meeting in Mayapur, and then Vijay Prabhu was asking, what is your inspiration? And then one devotee, which is quite advanced, he says, karmic people, instead everybody start to laugh what he's saying. He says, they're my inspiration because whatever happened, each day, 7 a.m. morning, they go to work. You know, they have these kind of obligations. Sometimes you go to book distribution, and then I don't want to go this day, and that day I'm sick, and that day I have mental problems. But, you know, the karmic people, they have this, they know.
Well, I also had that inspiration. I mean, so many people say to me now, oh, I have a baby, I can't chant my rounds. I hear this all over the world. And I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And my inspiration was, I thought, you know, there's so many of these liberated women, and they have their 3 or 4 children and their dog and their husband, and they watch television and they're working every day. I can't give Krishna a couple hours. You know, they're going to work for some career. They don't even need the money, and just to be some. And why, I can't do it for Krishna? But that doesn't mean you feel obligated. You still saying, I choose. You can say, I choose to go on book distribution every day because I want to become a devotee. Even if my mind is telling me not to, even if I'm in a bad mood, I choose. You substitute. I choose. It's a little formula. I choose blank because I want blank. And if you really don't want, then please don't do it. If you really don't want to please Krishna, okay, then you don't want to please Krishna. That's your free will.
Yeah.
I choose because I want. If you thinking I don't, generally you'll find that the things you're doing you do want to do. Generally. But you'll feel very differently about them. As long as you feel obligated, then there's this, Prabhupada says, regret later. Why did I do this? Why did I live in the ashram and give all the years of my youth to the ISKCON? And I could have been getting a degree, and I could have had a job, and I could have had a house, and why did I do that? And I was so foolish. Why did I take initiation? Then there's just regret afterwards and bitterness. I don't see that helps anybody in their spiritual life at all. And there's some things you're genuinely going to decide that you don't want to do, then, my God, don't do them. If you're looking at some of the things you're doing and say, there's nothing here that I want from this. I have no reason to be doing this. It's not giving me anything that I want. Don't do it. Seriously. If there's some part of your life you're saying this doesn't achieve any of my goals, it's not helping me achieving any of my goals, I'm doing it for all the wrong reasons, then either change your reasons or stop the activity. Either do it for the right reasons or don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two.
Change the attitude, the motive.
Either change your attitude or change the behavior. But don't do things in the wrong attitude. There's no point to that. Better to do something for Krishna in the wrong attitude than not at all. But that's very, the benefit is very slight. Like if people say, oh, those stupid Hare Krishnas, they get some benefit, but not so much. We're not encouraging that. I know this is a little scary because, I mean, I was talking to one devotee who is donating a lot of money to a project, and somebody else was supposed to give most of the money, and then that person didn't do it. And so this other devotee feels, well, now I have to give all the money for this project or it will fail. It's all on me. I said, do you want to? And he said, no, I don't want to. I said, then why are you doing it? I have to. Have to, why? Who's making you have to? I said, you can say, I want to give all of the money because I want this project to succeed. This project is important to me. I want to give all the money because I want the temple to have a good reputation. I don't want this project to fail and the temple will look bad to all the public. And that is really why he's doing it. But he would not allow himself to think that way. He was so afraid that if he stopped thinking, I have to, that then he would stop doing it. But in the meantime, he's feeling very angry and resentful about the whole thing. He's not feeling very happy about it. And probably the next time someone asks him to give money, he'll say no. Because he doesn't want this feeling of obligation. But he's very afraid to look at what his real desires are. Don't be afraid to look at what your real desires are. If you figure out, you know, I'm going to the morning program, the only reason I'm choosing to go to the morning program is just so that I can have a place to sleep and eat. You know, then either change the reason you're going or be honest and move out of the ashram. There's other ways to get a place to eat and sleep. That's not going to be very satisfying. Or else think, is there some other reason I want to do this? I can give you a very simple example from my own self. I was in the middle of working on one of my projects on the computer. And you know, sometimes you're right in the middle of something and you're thinking a particular way and you don't want to stop in the middle or you'll lose. You understand? So at that time, someone knocked on my door. Armila, there is a jugger right now. Some samskar jagya. Some devotees having some jagya, fire jagya for a samskar, and they want you to come. And I was thinking, I don't want to go. I want to do the work I'm doing. I don't want to stop the work I'm doing. And I don't think this samskar is very important, and I'm not so interested in going to this jagya. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I started thinking, oh, but I guess I should go. And then I stop, and I say, do I want to go or not? Is there any reason why I want to go? If I'm going to leave my work and walk out the door and go there, why? I'm thinking, okay, because if I go, the devotees will be very happy. They'll feel, oh, our guest at the temple is coming to bless our sacrifice. And I thought, I'm a guest here, and it would be nice if I would reciprocate with the devotees by going to their program. I thought they'd feel very, very happy and very enlivened if I go. And if I don't go, they'd feel very disappointed. I thought, I like to make people happy. I very much enjoy being an instrument of somebody else's happiness. I thought, okay, I don't have to go to the whole thing. I can go and sit for 10 minutes and then go back, and then they'll be happy. So I thought, I choose to go because I want those devotees to be happy. And then I was very happy. I was able to just go and sit for 10 minutes. And they were happy, and I went back to my work. Otherwise, I'd be going, and the whole time I'm there, I don't want to be here. Why do I have to be here? What a stupid thing. And, you know, Prabhupada never said we had to do these things. I have to do this thing. I have so many more important things to do. And it's probably not going to make any difference in their life anyway. And who knows if they're even doing the Vedic rituals properly. You know, the whole time my mind would just be criticizing the whole thing. So what is the use of that? So that's my suggestion. What's your other question?
I just want to finish. But is it sometimes I'm in good shape, spiritually good shape, and then something for a short period come that, you know, I don't have proper attitude or something, and then for some short period I just do this because I need it, and then this period finish, and then again I do it normally. Is it good if this is only some
my
short?
Suggestion is that always choose because you want. Don't do things out of shoulds and obligations.
I should always have like a dialogue with myself and see which thing, what I'm doing, all the things, and that I always be sure that I do that. You know, like that sometimes I'm not sure why I do something. I should think and then convince myself that I do that because I want.
Otherwise, just think of what does sattva gun mean. What does the word sattva mean? What is the meaning of the Sanskrit word sattva? Or sat. What does sat mean? Eternal. It also means existence. Sattva means truth. Param sattvam dhimahi. We say Krishna is the... What do we call Krishna?
Absolute
truth. And what is Maya? What does Maya mean?
Illusion.
Illusion. That which is
not.
Maya means something false, and Krishna means absolute truth. Anytime we are functioning on a false platform, we are in Maya. Maya means falsity. A lack of honesty, a lack of truth. Be honest. Raghunath Das Goswami says the biggest impediment to spiritual life is deceit. Don't be deceitful.
What does it mean, deceitful?
Deceit. Oh, it's another word for deceit.
Two-faced.
Two-faced or cheating or hypocrisy, dishonesty. So Rajagun and Tamagun are different levels of deceit. They're not a platform of being authentic. You understand authentic?
Yeah.
Sattvagun means you're being authentic. Be authentic. We talked yesterday in the class about serving Krishna in the down times, didn't we? You can serve Krishna authentically in the down times. You can say, Krishna, today I don't feel like chanting my rounds, but I choose to chant my rounds because I want to honor my vow. Saying I choose to chant my rounds today because I want to honor my vow is very different than saying, oh, I have to chant my rounds today even though I don't want to. Who's making you have to? Where's the have to coming from? There's only two things, my dear friends, that we have to do. Everything else is a choice. What's something we have to do?
Die.
No, death is an illusion. There's no death. Death is of the body only. The soul never dies. Never have to die, ever.
We have to exist.
We have to exist! Cannot stop existing. You can kill the body, but you will always exist. No choice. You cannot say, Krishna, now I don't want to exist. He'll say, sorry. You don't have a choice. And one other thing we must do.
Serve.
Very brilliant gentleman here. We must serve. That is our dharma. We must. We must exist and we must serve. That I have to do. Everything else is a choice. Be honest about the fact that it's a choice. You'll be a much happier person. You'll be a much happier person. Your Krishna consciousness will advance better. You'll treat everybody else better because you remember that what everybody else is doing is also a choice. My wife doesn't have to wash the dishes. She's choosing to. The brahmacharis living in the ashram don't have to go to Mangalarti. They're choosing to. Everyone is choosing to. Even if people think I'm doing this because I have to, it's not. That's not true. That's not authentic. Therefore, it's not in sattva. It's a lie. I don't have to. Even if I put a gun to your head and say, you have to do this, you can say, I'd rather you shoot me. People sometimes do that. You know? go kill this person or I will kill you. Say, I'm sorry, I don't want to kill this person. You can kill me. Even in those circumstances, we are still choosing. So to be honest about that means you're being authentic with yourself, and then you're being authentic with Krishna, who already knows why you're doing what you're doing. So you might as well be honest with him because he already knows. And then sometimes if you're saying, well, the only reason I'm doing this is for prestige. So then you can change your motivation or change your activity. When Arjuna said that to Krishna, I'm fighting this war for all the wrong reasons, so better I don't fight. Krishna said, no, change your reasons. But how can you change your reasons if you don't know what your reasons are? You have to be honest with yourself about why you're doing what you're doing. Then you're doing it intentionally. But only then is it really an offering. I don't know what it is if you're not doing it intentionally, but it certainly isn't an offering, and it certainly isn't devotional service. Maybe it's something. It's worth something. You know, if you bring me, like, this nice devotee who made this tea, very nice tea.
Charanamrita.
Yeah, he put all the charanamrita. I gave him the charanamrita to give to all the devotees, and he gave it all to me.
I get it every day,
you know. And I put Radhakund water in it. I was thinking everybody could, anyway. Hare Krishna, wasn't Govardhan wanted me. You have some.
We have more. Yeah.
You have more? You just gave me a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you should give to all the
people. Yeah, he gave you a little bit of tea, but he cooked more of tea, so there is a lot of
tea.
For the breakfast, he'll distribute.
No, not the tea, the charanamrita.
But it's already in the tea.
Oh, he put it in the big tea. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad. Okay. But if he gave me this and said, I don't want to give this to you, Arjuna, but I think I have to. Even then, it would be a choice. All right, I'm doing it because my town president told me to do it, and I'm choosing to do what he says because I want him to be happy with me. Okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, it's all right. The second one is very short.
Yes.
What to do? Sometimes, like, I'm facing this thing that there is a devotee who like to depend on others. So how can we help, or how can we... What we should do with... sometimes, maybe not... say devotees, but people, some people like to depend. Like I said, we should not depend. Even if they are
There are shudras in society.
If they are older, you know, like not even work, maybe just to live somewhere with someone to, you know.
There are shudras in society. And, I mean, really, the traditional brahmachari ashram is for children. And the traditional brahmachari is very dependent, you know, just under very tight authority.
Yeah, I didn't mean in this sense. I was thinking that the person doesn't want to work, doesn't want to do anything, just to enjoy, and then just depend in this way to someone give him money or just.
No,
like
you tell them that is ultimately a spiritual desire, because in the spiritual world nobody has to work. You can just get everything from the desire trees, and everything is just play. There's many activities, but it's all play. There's no work. So you're looking for the spiritual world. That's very nice. But that's not the way to get there. Just like you want freedom, the way to get your freedom is to surrender. So if you want to go to the land of play, if you want to go to the land of sport, where there's no work, then in this world you're going to have to work. And if you do that work for Krishna with the proper consciousness, then that work becomes also play, even in this world. If I work for Krishna in the mode of passion,
oh, I got to work for Krishna,
then it's work. If I'm thinking I'm choosing to work for Krishna because I want whatever, even if you want liberation or whatever, I'm choosing to work for Krishna, then it becomes more like play. And if you choose to work for Krishna because he's so nice, he's handsome, he's intelligent, he's kind, he's fun, he's compassionate, he's brave, I choose to work for him. Then that work, even in this world, becomes like play. And many times we in the Hare Krishna movement work much harder than the materialistic persons. Right? Because our work is like play. Huh? So you tell them, this desire not to work, that is a natural desire. The natural desire. Yes.
I want to ask you, because we are here trying to develop a community and nice relationships, like a big family. And when person are coming, they are really afraid because they want to be free and they think that they need to become Borgs, something.
They need to become
Borg.
Borg? Oh, like a machine.
Machine, yeah.
Yeah.
And how to help them to understand that they need to change some attitudes because some of these different moods.
Synchronization. They think
if
synchronization means Borgs, robots.
Yeah.
Yes, this is our general misconception. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not experiencing prema bhakti, that means you also have this attitude to some extent. Because what's keeping us from prema is fear. I'm afraid that if I give Krishna my will, I'll become like a Borg. So that, you know, you may see someone else has more fear than you. But for those who are higher than us, they see us the same way. How afraid we are. So what can you do? You can set an example. You can show how you're free. You can treat people as giving their voluntary. And as they do service, that fear will lessen. Naturally. As I surrender to Krishna, and I see that as I surrender to Krishna, you know what? I get more and more and more and more and more and more and more freedom. It's a very interesting thing. The more I surrender to Krishna, the more freedom I get. And so gradually my fears start to go away. That's the only cure. You have to try it. You have to experience it. As I surrender to Krishna, I become more and more and more free. I become more and more me, and I'm free. I'm a free being. As I give up these fears and lust and anger and greed and envy, I feel free. Therefore, the regulated principles of freedom. But you have to try it. But also means that the devotees in general, the leaders in particular, but the devotees in general have to have the mood of, as Prabhupada said, individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. That they have that mood. And sometimes we see devotees don't have that mood, and then people have a reason to be afraid. Seriously, I mean, sometimes you see temples or communities where the devotees think that surrendering to, they actually believe that surrendering to Krishna means to be like a Borg. And then naturally people are afraid. You should be afraid. That's scary. That's a misuse of religion. It's a dharma in the name of dharma. And I've seen many times that people will preach like this. And that they'll treat the devotees like this. You have to do this. No, he doesn't. You can say to somebody, if you would like to continue living in the ashram, then these are the rules for living in the ashram. Do you want to live in the ashram? Okay, then this is the rules that need to be followed. But that's a choice. If you choose not to follow these rules, then you don't live in the ashram. But that's very different saying you have to follow these. No, you don't have to follow these rules. No, you have to follow them. Yes?
Yes, I would like to ask about this. This is nice approach that you explained. I can see it with this free will. But I have a little doubt.
Okay, we all have doubts, by the way. That's why we're not experiencing prema. This subject...
Who is experiencing prema?
Maybe you. So you're asking this for other people. This topic is touching at the root of our doubt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can see how nice it can be applied in devotional life. But as I can see, devotees should be advanced, at least with sattva guna. Otherwise, our will is covered with... with rajas and tamas, and then what we will, it will, if we choose, then it will drag us down. We will not make right decision.
So how are you going to get them to sattva? Are you going to get them through sattva by keeping them in rajas? Or are you going to get them to sattva by bringing them to sattva?
No, but I mean, if they apply this system.
This is sattva, then they'll come to sattva. Because it's the process of sattva.
If they choose, but he says, if they are in tamagun or rajagun, if they choose, they will choose probably wrongly because they are in that mood which, you know, covering.
If they're honest about their choice, that will help bring them to sattva. If you encourage dishonesty, you're encouraging people to stay in rajas and tamas. How will you bring them to sattva if you're encouraging untruth? You want to use an instrument of falsity to bring somebody to truth? How will you do that?
They can be truly honest and truly, if they are like deeply in tamagun, they can be like.
You can train them.
They are sincere.
You take the little bit of sattva and you fan it. Don't cover it more. If someone's just beginning to come, that means they're choosing to come, right? You fan that. Make it like a fire. Don't cover it with more passion. Why do you want to encourage the problem? Hey, you have to distinguish, you know, between the temporary flickerings of the mind. But you can say to people, what do you really want? Not what do you feel like right this minute. But what do you really want? What's your goals? This is a simple example. Suppose somebody's fat, and they say, I want to lose weight. And then they see a chocolate cake.
Like yesterday.
Yes. And then you can say, what do you want? Do I choose to eat the chocolate cake because I want the taste sensation on my tongue? Or do I choose to not eat it because I'm on a diet and I want to lose weight? Just think of how different your life would be. I'm choosing to watch this television show because I want recreation. Okay. Is that the best way to get recreation? Am I going to be happy with that an hour from now? Could there be a better way for me to get recreation? Are there other things I want that's in conflict with? Become thoughtful. Prabhupada wanted us to become thoughtful. You can't change your consciousness if you don't know what your consciousness is. You first have to understand what it is. Otherwise, how can you change it? And Prabhupada also said, blind following is condemned. But you'll see, if people do things under this, I don't want to do this, but I'm supposed to do this, then they'll leave. Or they'll be angry and bitter. I mean, honestly, we have many devotees who've become very angry and bitter. And this is one of the reasons they were dealt with like this, I'm sorry to say. We had devotees and leaders who thought, you know, I will deal with you. You have to. You're obligated. And trying to motivate people like this through the modes of passion and ignorance. And those people have become very bitter.
Even if they took initiation, if they obligate to chant 16 rounds, even...
You see, they become very bitter. You see these people.
Yeah.
And they still like Krishna. Many of them still like Krishna.
Yeah.
But they're so angry. And they're causing so much trouble. I mean, obviously there's many reasons for that, but that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons is that people treated them like that. It's not a good idea. I mean, for getting money also. You know, I saw this thing from some of the temple presidents said that anyone who wants to get initiation must give donations to the local temple. Whoa. That's directly what Prabhupada says is charity in the mode of passion. Don't do it. And Prabhupada never did that. So this is why use passion and ignorance to achieve goodness? How will you do that? How will that work? I don't understand how it works. Encourage people to be thoughtful. And what we're choosing, I'm not talking about just, you know, temporary emotions and things in the mind. What do I actually want? What do I actually want? I'm not talking about how I feel like this morning.
I feel tired. Oh, I feel tired, but I have to get up.
No, you don't have to get up. Why are you getting up? Huh? Because I want. What do I want? I want to eat. And you can think, maybe I should change my reasons for getting up. Isn't it funny that we're afraid of being free? We're so afraid of being free. And we're really afraid of giving other people their freedom. Whoa. That's really scary. If I give other people their freedom, they might misuse it. You want your freedom taken away. Anyway, you can't give other people their freedom. Guess what? They already have it. Everybody already has their free will. You can't take it away. It belongs to them. And we're already operating on the basis of our free will and our desires. Be honest. See what your desires really are, and then see if that's the desires you want to have. How can you change your consciousness and your desires if you're not honest about what they are? Then you can't do anything. I give this example all the time. Like today I'm going from Karlovac to Split. So if I pretend that I'm not in Karlovac, how can I get to Split? I have to be honest. What's the town between Karlovac and Split?
Gospic.
Gospic? Gospic. So if I say I'm already at Gospic, how Gospic?
Gospic.
Sadar. I'm not going to say that. Sadar.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I say I'm already at Sadar, then how can I get proper directions? I can't. I have to know where I am. I have to be honest. I have to see myself honestly. If you help people to see themselves honestly, their advancement will be much faster. If you want to go quickly through Anistha Sadhana Bhakti, the best way to do that is with extreme truth. Get yourself in the light and stay in the light. Get out of the darkness. The reason that Anistha Sadhana Bhakti takes so long for most people is they don't want to get in the light. You get in the light and push other people to get in the light. A lot of times people ask me for advice. I'll say, what do you really want? I had this one girl write to me. She said, so there's this boy I really want to marry, but he doesn't want to follow the regulative principles, and he wants to do such and such before we're even married. What should I do? I said, it depends what you want. What do you want? I really want to follow the principles, but I really want to marry him. I said, what do you want more? Could I marry him but convince him that he should be strict? I said, probably not. Don't try for that one. I said, at least he's being honest with you about what he wants to do. I said, you should be happy that he's being honest. That not that he says, I want to be with you, and then, oh, by the way, I want to do this. I said, you have to decide. Do you want to follow the principles strictly, or do you want to marry this boy? What do you want more? What's more important to you? And then she writes me again after a while, should we be alone in the room before we're married? I said, not if you want to follow the principles. Do you want to follow the principles or not? You've got to decide. You know? You have to really think, what am I looking for? What are my desires? What are my values? What's important to me? You know, otherwise, then she'll marry the man and think, oh, he's forcing me to do this. No, he's not forcing you to do it. You didn't have to marry him. Doesn't that make sense? They'll be so much happier. I'm cooking because I want to serve Gornitai. I'm going to Albania because I want to teach these people about Krishna, even though maybe I'll get thrown in jail. I really want them to learn about Krishna, the only reason I'm going to Albania is because otherwise they won't let me live in the Brahmacharya ashram. I have to. But even then you can say, you know, I really want to live in the Brahmacharya ashram and I'm willing to go to Albania so I can live in the ashram. Even that's something. It can sometimes be, you know, sometimes it's political. I have such and such thing I want to achieve in devotional service, and to achieve that I have to make friends with these people, and so therefore I'm going to do this. I want to advance the preaching. I want to tell more people about Krishna. And this government official will help me. Therefore, I'm choosing to spend time with them and listen to them talk about nonsense so that I can develop a relationship and further the preaching. And sometimes you may decide there are certain things that you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes you'll say, there really is no good reason for doing this. Sometimes that may happen. Sometimes you may say, why am I doing this service? I'm only doing this service for maintenance, for my own maintenance. I ran into this situation with one temple president who said the whole temple was engaged in prasadam distribution, selling prasadam, everybody in the temple. And they're working really, 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 really hard. And he said, everybody complains that this temple is more like a business than like preaching. And I said, well, why are you doing the prasadam distribution? He said, to make money. I said, do you need money? He said, well, you know, the temple mortgage is paid. We don't have a whole lot of expenses. I said, suppose you didn't need any money. What would you do? Oh, he said, I wouldn't do this at all. He said, I would close down the university prasadam program. He says, it's the few devotees we have are having to work so hard. What would you do instead? I said, oh, I would do book distribution. He became very enthused. And I would do this, and I would do this, and I would do this, and I would do this. I said, you know, Prabhupada says that Krishna is providing the income, and it's just your choice what you do. You can choose whatever occupation you want, and Krishna is providing the income. I said, so if you would rather preach, preach and trust Krishna will provide the income. No, I can't do that. We have to make money. We have to make money. I said, no, you don't. He said, I'm choosing to run this business because I want money. Now, so either he could change the mentality and get the devotees involved in prasadam distribution as preaching, or he could change the activity, but he wouldn't do either. He wouldn't do either because he was afraid. He said, I'm afraid if I do that, we won't have enough money and then I'll be in trouble with the GBC. So sometimes when you see these things, you see you should change. And I know a devotee in a very similar situation who made the change. They were very unhappy in their service. And I said, why are you doing this service? He said, I'm doing this service because these people are paying me. That's all. This service isn't really my propensity. I'm not really being able to accomplish very much. I'm very frustrated. I don't like the people I'm working with. I don't like the situation. The only reason I'm doing it is to make money. I said, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. So they gave it up and they said, okay, I'm going to do the service I really want to do, even though I don't know how it's going to make money. And Krishna sent all the money. They said, I'm doing this for the wrong reason. So then either you have to change your reason or change what you're doing, or both. But you can't do that if you're not honest. Okay, I should stop now. And let's go to Radhakund. Right? Is that okay? Or does someone have something that's just like their heart is falling out of their body?
Yeah, I have one more.
Let's see if anybody else besides you. Anybody else have something? I told you I couldn't give a short class on this purpose.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah.
This is one of the most important purports in Prabhupada's books. So yes.
Sometimes, you know, they say that when you're in the beginning of spiritual life, then we like to do for Krishna what we like to do. But how we gradually become more advanced, then sometimes we do, like you said also, because of others or what we want to do. But then we advance more, that we do something which we don't like, but we do that because of Krishna. We do that because to make others happy.
Then you are liking. You're liking to make others happy.
Yeah, I mean, we do that. We have a reason why to do that. But then we do things because, and they said it's a higher.
What is the Shastric Praman for this? What is their evidence for this philosophy people are giving? Where is it? Quote the Shastra.
Well, to think now, I need to think deeply, but I didn't.
What does Krishna say in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita and again in the 18th chapter? So it's a point he mentions twice. Now, if a teacher mentions a point twice, it must mean it's important, right?
Yeah.
An 18th chapter is a summary. So in the summary, you again mention the important points. And it's at the end of the 18th chapter. What is the point Krishna make on this topic?
About duty.
Mm.
The 3rd chapter, he says.
About your nature. What is the point Krishna makes about your nature? Nature means something that you like. That's what nature means. Your nature means something that gives you energy, something that gives you enthusiasm, something that you like, something that you enjoy. That's how you know what your nature is. What does Krishna say about your nature? 3rd chapter and 18th chapter.
Better to follow your nature than duty for others in order to avoid mistakes.
Yes. And he says, what is your choice about your nature? You have a choice. You can do it.
Or not do it.
No. Says you can do it.
Imperfectly.
Better to do imperfectly your duty.
Better to do your duty imperfectly than someone else's duty perfectly. He says that twice. And then he also says something else. He says you're going to do your nature. You can do it how? What two ways? For Krishna or for Maya? That's your choice. Please tell me anywhere in the Shastra where it said that a more advanced person does something that's against their nature.
No, not against their nature. But I was thinking like a duty, like Krishna says to Arjuna in there.
But what duty
fight.
Is he telling him to do? He's saying your duty is to do what you like to do for me.
But Arjuna didn't like to do that.
He did like to do that. And that was Krishna's whole point. He said, fighting is your nature. It is what you like to do. Therefore, if you don't do it for me as a yogi, you'll do it anyway for your sense gratification, because it is your nature.
But he wanted to go from battlefield. This fight he didn't
And that was the Maya.
Yeah.
The Maya was saying, no, I don't want to do my nature. Krishna's saying, no, this is what you like to do. This is your natural inclination.
Can we say
Arjuna was making exactly this mistake that these people are preaching as Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said that Arjuna was trying to use Krishna consciousness as an excuse to avoid Krishna consciousness. And that's what these people are preaching. They're preaching, no, it's more advanced to give up what you like to do. That's exactly what Arjuna said. Arjuna said, it would be much more advanced, Krishna, to give up what I like to do. That would be a higher platform. Because my reasons for doing what I like to do now are all sense gratification. Arjuna, and Krishna says, no, change your consciousness. Because what you like to do, you will do anyway. You cannot renounce what you like to do.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean like, I was thinking we should do, like, on long terms, what is our nature, what we like to do.
There's emergency duties.
Yeah, but that was my question.
There's emergency duties.
Sometimes, no one is there. I don't like to worship.
Well, Prabhupada says that, it says in Bhagavad Gita, there's three kinds of duties. There's ordinary duties, desired duties, and emergency duties. Ordinary duties are the things according to my nature, and my nature means what I like. What gives me energy? What gives me enthusiasm? What makes me feel alive?
You said normal duties?
Yeah, ordinary, probably use the word ordinary. Ordinary, desired, and emergency. if you try to do things for a long time that are not your nature, you'll become sick, actually.
Yeah.
So then desired are extra things. You know, like a hobby. If in the materialistic vocabulary, your ordinary work would be your work, and your desired things are like a hobby. Does that make sense?
Yeah, an emergency is when you...
Emergency, you can do anything, but please be careful that an emergency is an emergency.
Yeah, not for a long time yet.
Yes. And we've also had sometimes in ISKCON people forced into emergency situations for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And this damages people very severely. It's like you're trying, then you're using a machine in a way it wasn't designed, and the parts will wear out. If doing things that are not our nature will make us tired, frustrated, they're difficult. I mean, everybody has to be prepared to do emergency work sometimes. Everybody, even in ordinary life, of course. And also, even the things that are our nature have things about them that are displeasing. That's always the case. You know, you may love taking care of, you know, I love taking care of my babies, but I didn't like changing stooly diapers.
Yeah.
Or if they got sick and they vomited on the floor and I had to clean it up, I didn't like that. That wasn't pleasant. So every occupation has parts of it that are unpleasant. Like, I love traveling. I love meeting devotees all over the world and helping people in their devotional service, but I don't like airport security lines at all. You know, I really don't like them. What's in your bag? You know, why are you coming to our country? How long are you going to stay? Are you a terrorist? You know, I mean, who likes that? Nobody likes that. So every duty has some things you don't like.
Yeah. That is like my point.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to, prepare tea. And if I don't know you, if I don't love you, I will not prepare. But because I love you, and then, okay, because of her, I will do that, but actually
yes.
I don't love her. I don't like to do
this. Exactly, exactly. There are parts of our duties that are not pleasing. That's the nature of the material world.
Also for Krishna, sometimes... You know, maybe start to love him, give you something.
And we're willing to do, you know, we're willing to do anything Krishna asks. Anything Krishna asks of me, I'm willing to do. But what Krishna is generally asking is to serve according to our nature.
Yeah.
And thinking that it's more advanced not to serve according to my nature was exactly how Arjuna was thinking.
Yeah.
It was exactly his mistake. He thought, oh, the neophyte devotee serves Krishna according to his nature, but now if I'm really advanced, then I'll deny my nature for Krishna.
Yeah.
And Krishna says, no. He said, first of all, you can't deny your nature. It's not possible. I give the example of like dyeing your hair. So when you dye, when a person dyes their hair, you can always tell. It looks artificial. Isn't it? And the real color starts to come.
After some time. Yeah.
Very soon. Within 1-2 weeks, usually, you can see the real color is coming. So I can pretend that I have another nature, but it's artificial. Again, it's not authentic. It's not truth. Like Prabhupada said, to enter into the fire, you have to be fire. If you want to go to the absolute truth, you have to be truthful. How can you enter into the absolute truth if you're false? I'm going to pretend that I have a different nature. That's not what Krishna's asking. When does he ever ask this? Please find me somewhere in the Shastra. I mean, Pradyumna says that when I serve Krishna, even things which to me are like nectar can become like poison, or things which are poison can become like nectar.
Yeah.
But that's again talking about those things that are difficult. So, of course, we're willing to do that out of love for Krishna.
Yeah, that is my point.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But that's true with everything. That's true with everything. Even if you have a job that you love, some parts of it you're not going to like, you know? That's just the nature of the world. Yes?
I'm sure. Question: what if that thing that it's our nature doesn't help us to develop these qualities that we want? That we have some bigger goal.
How is that possible?
We have some bigger goal. We want to become like this and this and this.
Give me
nature.
An example.
We want to become a humble devotee, nice devotee to serve others, please Krishna, and our nature is to. My example, I want to
be a star.
What's wrong with
that? To be richer.
What did Prabhupada say? What did Krishna say is the nature of the kshatriya? You know the Sanskrit? Ishvara bhav. And Krishna doesn't say to Arjuna, he doesn't say, give up the nature of a kshatriya, does he? Does he say that? No. Think about this. This is a false idea of what is humility.
Yeah, he thinks if he has a wish for a bhav, it will be very hard for him to be humble.
But if that's your bhav, that's your bhav. Krishna's saying you can't change it. This is a waste of time and energy. Don't waste your energy like this. It's nothing to do with the spiritual. If in this life Krishna gave you a Jaguar car, then you have a Jaguar car. Use it to drive to Krishna. Oh, if I'm humble, I have to have a Volkswagen. But you don't have a Volkswagen. You have a Jaguar. Okay, go to Krishna in your Jaguar. Humility is something completely different. How can humility be false? How can humility be a false thing? My nature just means that what car do I have in this life? Who cares what car you have? It's just a car. That's all. It's just a car. It's not your car. You can be proud of your car. My car. Use it for Krishna. That's humble. Arrogant is if I'm thinking it's my car. It's a good car. I like my car. It's better than everybody else's car. No, it's not. It's not your car. Krishna can take it away any second he likes. Use it for Krishna. That's humble. Humble is not my car. It's Krishna's car. I'm just a little servant. I'm just a little servant. Krishna's giving me some ability to use to glorify him. None of it belongs to me. It's such an important point. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't waste your time trying to get a different material nature. What a waste of time. A waste of energy. Tamal Krishna Maharaj and his last Vyas Puja. Did any of you know Tamal Krishna Maharaj?
No.
You knew?
No, yeah, I knew, but yeah, I saw him.
He was a leader. Oh my God. Talk about Ishwara Bhav. Hare Krishna. Woo! If Prabhupada wanted to get something done, he called for him. Nobody could buy the land in Mayapur. Nobody could close the deal. He called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He handed him a big chunk of cash. Go and buy the land. That was very dangerous, going to in Bengal with all this money and negotiating with these people. It's very dangerous. He could have gotten killed. Prabhupada stayed up all night waiting for him to come back. I did it, Srila Prabhupada. He said, I was waiting up all night for you. He had that Ishwara Bhav. On his last Vyas Puja, he was glorifying the gurus of everybody in the room. It was, I think, in Dallas. And, of course, mostly they were his disciples, but they were also disciples of other gurus. And when he was glorifying Radhanath Maharaj, he said something very interesting. He said, I will never exhibit humility in the same way that Radhanath Maharaj does. Because I have a different personality. So humility is going to look different depending on who the person is. You don't have to become a different material personality. Radhanath Maharaj's material personality and Tamal Krishna Maharaj's material personalities are practically speaking opposite. And they're both great Vaishnavas. What about Bhima? Or Draupadi. Very intense lady. She was born. She was born out of the fire. She was a fire lady. And she was really a fire lady. But she was a pure devotee, which means she was very humble. So humility is different. Just like some devotees, they have the nature that they want to just do the same thing every day. They stay in one temple for 30 years. They do the same service every day. There's one devotee at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. He's been there for like 35, 40 years. He's only left the property 3 times. He's never even gone into town. Never even goes to the stores. And then you have Indrajumna Swami. And they're both serving Krishna. So this Pujari, what's his name? Jiva or something. He doesn't have to become like Indrajumna Swami. Indrajumna Swami doesn't have to become like this Pujari. That's not necessary. Just like you don't have to become Indian to become a devotee. You don't have to talk like an Indian. You don't have to... You don't have to put more food on my plate than I want like an Indian. Doesn't matter. It's just the car. It's not humility. Humility is something very different from that.
What would be your definition of humility?
That's another class.
In a short. A sentence.
She's exhausted.
No, I'm not exhausted. I'll be exhausted when I get off the seat, but now I'm not exhausted. It's true, it's truth, it's grateful, and it's joyful. It's a very, very joyful, grateful, and truthful state. It's where you see yourself completely honestly. Total humility is 100% honesty. You see who you are. Like I said yesterday, you're a wonderful spiritual being who's really, 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 really small and who got really, 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 really dirty. And the more wonderful that you see you are as a spiritual being, the more you cry for the fact that you rolled in the dirt. It's not sad if a pig rolls in the dirt, but it's sad if a prince rolls in the dirt. The greater you see your spiritual nature, the more you lament your fallen condition. So that lamentation is mixed with love and joy. And the more you feel your love for Krishna, the more you lament your fallen condition. But feeling that love for Krishna is very joyful. It's not a depressing kind of lamentation. At all. It has nothing to do with depression. It's nothing to do with lying. There's no lies in it. There's no lies, there's no depression. And it brings you freedom. Humility is the door between anistha sadhana bhakti and nistha sadhana bhakti. It brings you to freedom. You cannot touch freedom without humility. Impossible. You can't do it. Because humility is truth. You have to be truthful. You have to be in truth. Falsity and deceit are the enemies of bhakti. They can't exist simultaneously. If you say, you know, no, I really don't have this nature, it's false.
Yeah, I would like to share something like they say very nicely, very nicely explained. I was also, you know, I was living in Chopati, we get the training there, I was there a few times. And then I really wanted to become, you know, like I was thinking Radhanath Maharaj wants everybody be, you know, and I also don't have nature like Radhanath Maharaj.
No, you certainly don't. Your nature is much more like Tamakrishna.
Yeah.
So is mine.
And I was fighting so much inside of myself to be like that. I need to be, it's Maharaj will like that, and it's completely misunderstanding, you know.
It's a trick of Maya. It's a trick of Maya that instead of trying to become Krishna conscious with who I am, I try to become somebody else. Krishna doesn't want me to become somebody else. He wants me to be Krishna conscious with who I am. Even with my false self, even with this material body in mind. He wants me to use it in his service. That's all. It's a trick of Maya so that we take the energy we're supposed to be using to become Krishna conscious and use it for something else. It's diverting our energy. And it can happen one of two ways. Either I think that the person I am is perfect for spiritual life, and then I want everyone else to be like me. I'm thinking if I could just get everyone else to have my nature, then they would be Krishna conscious. Or if I don't like my nature, like what you're explaining, then I'm wasting my time trying to be somebody else's nature. And either way, it's a complete misuse of energy. We only have so much energy in this life. We only have so much shakti. It's like you have a bank account of how much energy you have. Don't waste it on this at all. Just not at all. Don't put any of your energy into trying to become some another nature. I mean, it's Krishna's advice. I think he gives good advice. All right, I have to stop now. I don't care what you're going to do. Please turn off this light.